Hey, good morning, Victory. How you doing? Come on, put your hands together. Good day to be a church. Hello, my name is Troy. My wife, Darla, and I get the absolute privilege to pastor this church. And if you guys are visiting with us today, as Brian said, we'd love for you to connect. You can do that with that sticker in front of you. We just want to do our best at kind of directing you to where you can find connection and community. As Brian mentioned, 7 days from now is Easter Sunday, which means today is Palm Sunday, okay? So this is the beginning of the Holy Week. Jesus enters and the people begin to lay down palm branches. And then as you know, when Good Friday comes, Good Friday will be when they put him up on the cross. And then Sunday is when he resurrects from the cross. Come on, let's get excited about that, right? Or from the grave. And then so, of course, Resurrect Sunday, Easter Sunday. There are handouts in your chair. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, and we're going to pray together as we end this service for Easter Sunday that God would just move in this place over those services, that many people would come to know him, that we would just have a great Sunday as a church. Before we get into the Word, I do love to share what we're doing financially. Just thankful to all of those that give through tithes and offerings. Last week, I mentioned that we were able to partner with Empowerment Incorporated and bring books to Eagleview Elementary right here in Antioch to help with their literacy. And you've heard me talking over the past couple of weeks about our impact in Congo as we've been partnering to bring Bibles. And through your faithfulness and tithes and offerings, we had already able to set aside $2,000 to send Bibles. And over the past week, we've had two different people give $100 both a piece. So we got another 10 Bibles going to the Congo. Come on, be excited about that. So, and there may be more, but as I know right now, speaking, $2,200 worth of Bibles will be going to the Congo. I was talking to Miss Susan, about going ahead and getting that going. She said, let's wait just a little bit longer. Let's see if we can get any more money in, and then we can send it and get even more. So if you're in here and you say, I really want to give specifically to that, $20 a Bible, when you do that, if you'll let us know, 100% of that will go to those Bibles, 100% of it. But also, I want to encourage you, those that are in here, if you're not tithing, if you're not giving an offering, I want to encourage you to do so, because God has really got his hand on our church, and we're able to do a lot. And as you know, we're looking at a possible third service. We're looking for more space, all these different things. And so, trust the Lord with your finances through tithing and get behind the vision of the church. And I was able to share with a guy that visited in the first service in the lobby. I want to remind you of our access for you to Ramsey Plus. And so if you're in here, it is a free for you. It's about a $200 value, free for you, so that you can help budget and do Financial Peace University. And so if you don't have it, if you didn't get into it when we offered it in December, go to the Welcome Center after service. They'll give you the QR code, and you can get that for your family. Amen? All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. We are bringing a series to close today called Come Home that we've been talking about, and the idea of kind of going back after the evangelistic heart towards the people in our life that may not know Jesus. Next Sunday, I'm going to actually preach from the parable of the prodigal son. I'm going to kind of tie that into Resurrection Sunday. But this series technically ends today, and then we'll begin a brand new series the first Sunday in April. And so Luke chapter 15, verse 25, last Sunday we started reading about the older brother in the parable. And we talked about having a religious heart and the older brother in me and those kinds of things. And today I want to talk to you about something that I saw a little while ago and was praying through. And I'd never seen this in this scripture before, and it kind of helped build the sermon. So I'm going to read from verse 25 and we'll get into it. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. So while all that was happening with the prodigal son, the older son is in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music, he heard dancing, and so he calls out to one of his servants and he asked him, hey, what's going on? What is this noise I hear? And they say, your brother's come back, he's returned, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he's back safe and sound. The older brother becomes angry and he refused to go in, so his father goes out and pleads with him, but he answers his father, look, all of these years I've been slaving for you and I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never even given me a young goat so I could go celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? And the father says, my son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate. We had to be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray for your Holy Spirit to move in this service just like you did in our first service, and that your word would come alive, that it would pierce our hearts, that you would speak directly to what it is that we need to hear from you today, and that we would gather together in unity and believing for you to do great things on Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning from this idea, paying for the party. Paying for the party. In 1998, this young man was playing basketball with some of his friends and was shot. And the place where the bullet went caused a lot of bleeding. It was a pretty critical situation. So his friends, in panic, grab him, and they race to the nearest hospital. They're carrying him just out of panic. They get to the point where they're not really sure what to do, so they lay him on the ground about 40 feet away from the hospital doors, and they run into the hospital, bust in the doors, and start screaming for help. Then the nurses and all the doctors let them know that because of policies and insurances that they cannot go outside of the hospital and address the young man. So once again, out of panic, the friends don't really know what to do. So eventually what they do is they find police officers, and they get the police officers to go, and the police officers drag this young man into the hospital, and then they get him in the hospital, and he dies. They found out later, of course, lawsuits went into action and all kinds of different things, but the whole reasoning behind it was because of insurance, because of the safety of their nurses and doctors, because of policies, it would have cost them something for them to leave that hospital and go help that man. Why I'm telling you that is I want you to understand that caring for other people will always cost us something. Loving other people, sharing the gospel with other people, caring, being there for other people, going out of our way to help other people will always cost us something. In a culture where everything is trying to become more and more convenient, for example, it has never been more convenient to watch a television show. Right? Let me help some of you young folks out in case you don't know this. There was a time where if we wanted to watch a TV show, we had to be on the couch at 7 p.m. on a Friday night. And if you weren't there at 7 p.m. and you missed the show, it was gone. There was no YouTube to go and watch it. There was no streaming. If you didn't watch it when it was live, you were never going to see it, right? You might be able to read about it in the TV guide. Y'all remember the TV guide? That was a piece of paper, guys, that let us know what was going to be on the television is what it was. You got it monthly. But it's never been more convenient. You can jump on YouTube. You can stream. You can watch stuff whenever it's comfortable for you. I was thinking about this. It's also never been more convenient to listen to music. Guys, when I was listening to music when I was 17 years old, I would have the radio going, and I would put a cassette tape in that little radio player, and I would sit by the record button. And when that top 10 song came on, it was normally Joe or Usher or something like that. And when I get ready, I'd hit record and record that song. So when you listen to it later, like you'd be listening to it, then it would just cut off and go to the DJ. Like it was awkward. It wasn't convenient. We'd have to go to the store and buy an entire CD to listen to one song. And so 14 songs were terrible. But that one song was great. And then eventually Walmart started selling singles. Do you remember when singles came out? And you could buy this like cassette tape. Well, a cassette tape is this thing. It's kind of like plastic. And you could put a pencil in here and turn it like that. I'm going to tell you how old I am. I remember going to the music store, and they would have the album, and there were these headphones. And you could pick the headphones up and put the headphones on, and you could listen to parts of the album and know whether or not. Now, you guys, we just get Spotify, right? $9 a month, which is cheaper than one CD. We can listen to every song whenever we want to. Everything is becoming more and more convenient. But watch this. The one thing that will forever be inconvenient is helping other people. There's never going to be a moment where loving others, helping others, caring for others, or sharing the gospel with others is going to be convenient. It's always going to be hard. While sharing the gospel is good work, it's meaningful work, it can also be difficult work. It can be inconvenient. So watch this. We have to be honest, and we have to ask ourselves this question. Am I willing to pay the cost to share Jesus with those around me? When I was reading this parable of the older brother, when I tell you something stood out to me that I had never really read before, I want to share with you what that is. When you read the beginning of the parable of the prodigal son, it tells you that the younger son asked the father for his inheritance. So here's how it worked in that culture that day. If you had two sons, the father, once the father passed, they would liquidate all of his assets, and one-third of everything that he has would go to the younger son, and two-thirds of everything else, so everything else that's left, two-thirds, one-third, one-third would go to the younger son, two-thirds to the older son. And so that's how it did. So when this younger son comes and says, I want my inheritance, remember I told you before, that was like telling your dad, I wish you were dead. And so he goes and he liquidates all of his assets and he gives one-third of it to that younger son. So watch this. Every dime that the father made from that point forward was the older brother's money. Every dime that he spent from that point forward was the older brother's money. So here's what that means. You ready? It means that the older brother was literally paying for his party. You catch that? So yes, the older brother was mad because the younger son had gone off and done all of these things and now he's coming back and all that. But part of the reason why he was so angry is because everything the father did for this party came out of his wallet. So he's asking, he's like, you killed the fattened calf? You got the big filet steak with the bone in it, you know, the tomahawk? He's like, you got the LED, you got the picture thing that spins 360 and takes pictures. Like, you spent all of that money on this party? That's my money. So part of the reason why he was angry is because he was literally paying for his brother's celebration. Listen to me. When it comes to doing the work of God, God will never ask you for what you do not have, but he very well might ask you for what you want to keep. He's not going to ask you for what you don't have, but he is probably going to ask you for what you want to keep. So when I tell you that sharing the gospel or helping other people is inconvenient, I don't mean that you're putting your family's life at risk. Praise God that we live in a country where we don't have to worry about the fact that because I preach today, my family might be murdered later on this afternoon. But there are inconveniences. There are persecutions. And I'm not trying to do this comparison or any kind of thing, but listen to me. If we're all honest, there are things that letting people know we're Christians, letting people know that we want them to come to church with us, letting people know about our faith and our gospel, there are things that become inconvenient for us. Again, it may be small in comparison, but they are inconvenient. I understand that as I share my faith at the gym, I'm now maybe not going to be able to work out in peace anymore, right? Like I may have to start having conversations with people because now they know about my faith and now they want to talk about it. So it's inconvenient, but it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make because I understand that caring for them is going to cost me something. Caring for them may cost my popularity. Caring for them may cost my peace. Caring for them may cost me gas money. I shared last week or a couple weeks ago that Brian took me to church. And so he had to come pick me up and, you know, it cost him gas and mileage. But it was costing something to care for me. And look where we are now, right? So we understand this, that in order to care for people, in order to love other people, in order for us to share our gospel, it's going, or share his gospel, it's going to cost us something. So I want to ask you this question. Have you ever thought about your legacy? Have you ever thought about your legacy? Now, legacy may mean something different to other people. There may be some of you in here that is something you've thought about. You think about it frequently. There may be people in here who you've never thought about it. But that's what I want to talk about. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. I want to read to you a story that's happening in the Bible. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it'll be on the screen behind me. And what's going on is Jesus and the disciples are traveling to Capernaum, and a conversation happens behind Jesus amongst his disciples. And y'all, this is one of the best stories in the Bible, because if there's ever a moment where you wondered if you and I are in the Bible, this is it, okay? If you ever wondered if our pettiness and our selfishness and our ability to think, our narcissism, if you ever wondered if all of that was in the Bible, get ready, all right? Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Says, and so they arrived at Capernaum, so Jesus and the disciples, and when they were there, they settled in the house where they were to stay. And he asked them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, what were you discussing out on that road? Now, anytime Jesus asks a question, he's not asking it because he doesn't know the answer, okay? Jesus is asking it because he knows the answer and he wants to know what you and I are going to say. For example, it was last night, we were sitting at the dinner table at my house. yesterday, and we were asking, my wife came in and she asked my oldest daughter what time she went to sleep on Friday night. She asked that question not because she didn't know, she knew, right? But she just wanted to know what she was going to say. And I'd like to report y'all that she lied, okay? She told us she went to bed about 11:30, in which my wife said, you went to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so again, just kind of as a parent, Jesus is just asking questions that he knows the answer to, but he just wants to know, are you going to tell the truth? So what were you discussing out on the road? And watch this, the disciples, they were ashamed to answer. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. Don't look at me. Why? Why? For they had been, this is so great, they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Isn't that awesome? They are 10 steps behind the Savior of the world. They are in the presence of the one who will die and rise from the grave. And they're wondering, is it you or is it me? You know, kind of like that Roxbury. You, me, yeah. Like, which one of us is the greatest? I just think that's so funny. And maybe it's not you, but that's me. I could see me doing that. And Jesus is like, are you serious? Is this what you're talking about? Watch what happens. The Bible says that Jesus sat down. Listen to me. When you're reading your Bible, anytime Jesus sits down, pay attention because he's about to teach. So he sat down and he called them around him and he said, anyone wanting to be the greatest must be the least. Anytime Jesus talked like that, he was talking about his kingdom, not the worldly kingdom. He would often talk about those being different and how they were 180 from each other. So he says, listen, in the world, greatest means one thing, but in my kingdom, if you want to be the greatest, you need to be the least. He goes on to say, the servant of all. And then the Bible says he placed a little child among them. I don't know where this child came from. He just showed up out of nowhere. And taking the child in his arms, Jesus says to them, watch, anyone who welcomes a little child like this in my name is welcoming me. And anyone who welcomes me is welcoming my Father who sent me. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying your legacy, whether or not you are great, is not about you. It's about the people that you are impacting. It's about what you do for the people around you. It's not about you. He's looking at his disciples who are literally having an argument. Are you? Which one of us is greater? You, me, you, me? And he pulls up this kid and he goes, y'all, you're missing it. You're missing it. The greatness in my kingdom is not about you. It's about what are you doing for other people. People considered kids to not even have value. You know, they didn't talk. It was you could be seen but not heard. And he's going, someone who puts value in this and somebody else. Legacy is defined as the impact we make that is long lasting. The conversations we have, the moments and the influences that are long-lasting. Our culture will tell us that our legacy is fame and fortune. How many awards can you get? How many accolades? How many statues? How many houses? How much money? And please listen to me. I am not against people having money to pass down to children and grandchildren. I think that's great stewardship. I don't think that's legacy. And the reason why I don't think that's legacy is because of this. You and I were created for eternity. The Bible says that God stitched us together while we were in our mother's womb. So while God is piecing us together, he places in us like a bear at Build-A-Bear in the mall where you get the little heartbeat and put it in. He placed inside of our heart eternity. And so our spirit yearns for eternal significance. Our spirit knows that it's meant for eternity. Our body's not, and so our body will die. Our body will fade away. Our body will become dust. But our spirit, our soul hungers for something bigger, something greater, something that lasts way beyond us. Our body yearns to be eternally significant. And between culture and the enemy and our flesh, we confuse that into fame. We think we need more likes on social media. We think we need more money. We think we need more accolades. And we find out from celebrities and we find out from famous people who think that checks the box. And then they arrive at that point and they say to us, this still doesn't satisfy me. There is still something missing in me. So you'll see some who will take their own lives and you'll see some who will walk around in misery. And you see some who finally find Jesus and they say, this is it.
I thought what I was yearning for was fame. What I thought I was yearning for was reputation. What I thought I was yearning for was popularity. But I'm learning what's inside of me is eternity. Significance. Something that's way beyond me because I was created for the heavens. I was created forever. And so something in me wants to be a part of something that lasts forever. And so culture tells you legacies, fame, and fortune, but that's not the case. I want to show you a picture of somebody. This gentleman's name is Reinhard Bonnke. And the truth is that most of you have no idea who this is. As I was prepping this message, I realized that neither one of my children would know who this is. Part of that is their age. Part of that is I need to be better at introducing them to people. Reinhard Bonnke is an evangelist. Reinhard Bonnke got saved at a crusade. He got on fire for Jesus, and he would go and stand on the corner with an accordion, like Steve Urkel, Family Matters accordion, and he would tell people about Jesus. He went on to pastor a very small church that often when talked about would be talked about in kind of a negative way. It's just a small church, insignificant, small church. And at one point, he had a dream one night where he called it, he saw a blood-soaked Africa. That's what he says. He went on later to explain that what he saw in the dream was the blood of Jesus covering all of Africa. And so he got this passion, so he started traveling to Africa. And he would do these kind of evangelistic crusades. Started off very small. He eventually got to build his very first tent, which would seat about 800 if it was completely packed out, and he didn't fill it. And he continued to preach and preach with on years and years, and this was one of his last crusades. So over 1 million people there. Reinhard Bonnke died in 2019. He had started a ministry called Christ for All Nations. And so a couple of years before he died, they prayed and passed the mantle on to another young man who's continuing that ministry. And listen to this. Listen to this. He's passed away. In his 40-plus years of ministry, they're documented 79 million salvations. That's insane. Give God praise for that. So here's my point. 79 million people saved, and most of us don't even know who he is. Most of us, if he was in church today, you'd be like, oh, how you doing? 79. What I'm trying to tell you is what culture tells us legacy is and what legacy is in the mind of God are totally different. That culture would say you need likes and fame and fortune, and God says 79 million souls. 79 million people in Africa have found Jesus because of this man, and yet there is no statue. He's never been invited to the Oscars. He'll never receive an award and have to stand up and go, I want to thank God for this. But his legacy is 79. That ministry is still going on. There's a website. I watched a video on him. It's called The Legacy of the Harvest. There's a website, CFAN, you go to, and it's a steady counter of the people who are being saved, and it's over 90 million now. That's incredible. The lives that we impact by sharing our faith, that's the legacy we leave. The people that you and I impact because we love like Jesus, the people that we impact because we serve like Jesus, because we are willing to be second like Jesus, because we are willing to help other people be in front like Jesus, the legacy that we leave because of lives that are being impacted, that's the legacy. As Christians, our legacy points to God's story of grace in our life. And we are meant to share it for God's glory. The woman at the well, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, she meets Jesus at the well. She interacts with Jesus and she feels like he's the Messiah. And the Bible says she goes back to her town and she tells everybody, you got to come see this man who's told me everything about me. I think he's the Messiah. And the Bible says they all come out to Jesus. And there's a section of scripture later on where the people are saying to her, we believed at first because of you. We believe now because of what we've seen with our eyes and what we've heard with our ears. Y'all, it's 2024 and we're sitting in a church in Antioch, Tennessee, and we're talking about her because her legacy is the lives that were impacted through her faith. There's another story in the Bible where a demon-possessed man who's chained on an island, they don't know what to do with him, so they put him on an island by himself and chained him up. He has an interaction with Jesus, and he's healed, he's saved, he's set free. And Jesus gets back on the boat to leave. The guy tries to get in the boat, and Jesus says, no, you're not coming with me. You have to stay here, and you have to tell your people. You have to be a witness to your people. So he witnesses to the Decapolis, and everybody comes to know Jesus. And it's 2024 in a church in Antioch, and we're talking about him because of his legacy. The disciples gave everything they had to Jesus. They would all die for their faith. But their legacy is the story of the gospel in their life, and we're talking about them today. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. What we do for ourselves dies with us, but what we do for others lives beyond us. Reinhard Bonnke had a quote. I loved it. He said, let me have in mind the beginning, what matters in the end. God, let us have in mind right now what matters in the end. So when I go to lunch today, don't let me be so focused on all the plans I got to do that I miss the waiter or waitress that needs Jesus. Let me have in mind what matters today. Let me not go to work and be so worried about getting off so I can get home and do laundry. I miss my coworkers who need Jesus. Don't let me be in traffic in such a hurry because I don't know how to schedule correctly and be so mad at the person that I blow my horn and miss my opportunity to share Jesus. Let me have in mind what matters in the beginning. Here's another quote I love by Francis Chan. He says, when Simon says, pat our head, we pat our head. But when Jesus says, go and make disciples, we memorize that verse. When Simon says, pat our head, we pat our head. And when Jesus says, go, we memorize the verse. Not that we're not supposed to memorize the verse, but we're supposed to memorize the verse so that it encourages us to go. Well, here's what that means. We got to go. We got to share the gospel. We got to continue to allow the Lord to build our legacy through us. And here's our legacy. You ready? Our legacy is leading people into the arms of Jesus. That's our legacy. Homes are great. Cars are great. Money's great. I hope I can leave something for my kids, but that's not my legacy. My legacy is how many people did the Spirit of God use me to be able to point them to Jesus, to be able to point them to the grace-filled, mercy-led love of Jesus Christ. Get into the arms of Jesus. That's my legacy. But it's going to cost us something. God wants to continue to build legacy through you, but it's going to cost you something. You know, if I was honest with you, planting this church has cost us a lot. There's been plenty of hardships, plenty of inconveniences, and I could sit down on the stage and tell you all of them, but there's one. There's one that's going to forever be sketched in my brain, one I'll never forget. It was late 2016, early 2017. My oldest daughter, Veda, who's in this picture, was about 7 years old. Isn't that crazy? We had renovated our house because we had to sell it. And so I had gone in with my father-in-law and laid in new floors, and the house was completely empty. But as I was having to go back and forth every couple of weeks and mow the grass. And this particular day, I had to take Veda with me. And so I pull up into the driveway and I take her into the house and I get her set up in her bedroom because she can see me out of her window. And I get her tablet set up and everything. I go, all right, baby, if you need anything, you know where daddy is. And I go out and I mow the backyard. And now I'm mowing the front yard. And I look up and she's standing right on the outside of our front door. And so I turn the lawnmower off, take my AirPods out. I say, baby, you okay? And she starts to make her way towards me and she's crying. And those of you that have kids, you know how it is. You go into mom and dad mode. And so I'm wondering, where you bleeding? Where you cut? What'd you do? And so I pick her up and I put her on the trunk of my car so that we're eye to eye contact. And I say, baby, what is it? And she says, daddy, I don't want to move. I said, babe, what do you mean? She said, I don't want to leave my friends. She said, I love my room. She said, I don't want to leave grandma and grandpa. I don't want to leave my church. I don't want to move. What do you say at a moment like that? It's hard enough to be looking at your child as she's crying. It's even harder when you know you're the reason she's crying. She's 7 years old. I can't look at her and go, God's got a calling on her life, baby. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what I said. I was thinking about it in between services, and I think I just kind of pulled her close to me. And I think I prayed. Because I wasn't sure that I was honestly doing what I was supposed to do. A few weeks ago, she sent me that picture. She had a couple of pictures on her phone of us that I didn't have. I said, will you send that to me so I can have it? And I was working on this message, and I had these photos in my mind, and I felt the Spirit of God tell me she didn't know it then, Troy, but she was already building her legacy. She didn't understand what she was doing, but because she pushed through, because she was willing to allow it to be inconvenient and uncomfortable, hundreds of people have come to know Jesus. Because she was willing to push through, we've got a church that is alive in Antioch, Tennessee, where we're preparing for what's going to be the greatest Easter we've ever had, and we believe so many are going to come to know Jesus. Because she was willing to push through. Somewhere right now in Costa Rica is a room full of little girls, and Katie Carter's preaching the gospel. Because she was willing to push through. Somewhere Scott Horde is praying through with a young mom who's scared and doesn't know what to do, and she's considered abortion, but he's going to come alongside of her, and that baby's going to be born, and that baby's going to grow up to be a great mom and a great dad. Because she pushed through, we sat in here with over 50 couples as they held hands and cried as the Spirit of God was working on their marriages. Because she pushed through, this room was packed and men stood up here from Men of Valor as they celebrated their graduation. Because she pushed through, people after people baptized, kids saved, small groups formed, lives changed. Because she pushed through, she had no idea that that was attached to her legacy. Because when we're willing to do the uncomfortable, God will do the unbelievable. If I'll let God use me to make a difference in my world, then God will use me to make a difference in the world. So watch this. If Victory Church is your home, it's your legacy too. If you give through Victory Church, then guess what? There's going to be a day where you get to heaven, and there's going to be these people who come up to you, and they're going to say thank you, and you're not going to know who they are, and they're going to tell me, you don't know me, but I lived in the Congo, and I didn't have access to the Word of God, but my pastor told me that there was this church in Tennessee, and because of their faithfulness, they sent, and I got a Bible. And when I opened the Bible, I read the gospel, and sitting there in my room, I gave my life to Jesus. That's your legacy. Houses are great. Cars are great. That's legacy. You'll get to heaven, there'll be a little girl who will come up to you that you will have never met. And she'll say, thank you. And you'll go, baby, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. She'll say, I was in Costa Rica under a missionary by the name of Katie Carter. And one day she shared the gospel. And I gave my life to Jesus. And that's your legacy. There are things that God is doing because of you that you'll never know about.
Leonard Caswell, his son Lucas Caswell, goes to church here. He's one of our drummers. He sent me a message the other day. He was in Cuba on a missions trip. And he was showing one of the guys at the missions trip a picture of Liam, his grandson, being baptized. And the guy looked at the picture and he said, "Is that Victory Church in Tennessee?" He said, "That's a great church." A couple weeks ago, Christina Trinidad, is that what we decided? Christina takes a phone call from a prayer request on our website, and she calls a lady who's in Trinidad, who's struggling with demonic spirits, and she's praying through him. Listen to me, Cuba, Trinidad, you'll never know. Costa Rica, Bangladesh, you'll never know. You'll never know. Lives are being impacted, and watch this, are being credited to your legacy. Your legacy. It makes me think of the old Ray Bolts hit. Thank you for giving to the Lord, because I'm a life that was saved. When we're willing to do the uncomfortable, God will do the unbelievable. And if you'll let God use you to change your world, he'll use you to change the world. Amen? Would you stand with me? In John 17, verse 4, Jesus is getting ready to prepare for his crucifixion. His ministry is almost over, and he says, "I've glorified you on earth." He says, "I finished the work that which you've given me to do." Listen to me. Our lives, our legacy is to glorify God on earth, and it's to finish the work that he's called us to do. Amen. I thought it would be really sweet for us to finish this service today praying for Easter Sunday. I got a little bit more time than I had in the second service. I'm going to do a little bit more explaining. Or sorry, first service. We are believing with our hearts that next Sunday many, many hurting and hopeless people will walk through these doors. That there'll be people who have been fighting and wrestling with the idea of going to church, but it's Easter Sunday and it's what you do. And then we'll be able to get on this stage and present the gospel in such a way that those people will surrender their life to Jesus. We've already redone our entire room next door. We worked hard on soundproofing and doing all that we can so that we can fit as many people over there so that we can open seats in here for them. We understand the busyness of the day, but what I'm about to ask you to do is that pray that God's Holy Spirit would move in a way where people's lives are changed. I want you to pray for the people that God's put on your heart. Maybe it's a next door neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend or a family member. And you know it. You've tried. You've been inviting. You've been asking. You've kind of hit a wall, had some frustration. But you know that God has put this name on your heart. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for this church. We're going to pray for that service. And we're going to believe for people to be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. Just take, we don't have to go across the aisles, but would you just kind of hold the hand, the person next to you, grab a hand. And we're going to start praying. We're going to start praying, first of all, for this church and for that service. And then we're going to transition into you praying for the person that God's put on your heart. Father, we thank you right now for our legacy, for the many, many lives that have already been changed, the many, many lives that have already been impacted by the ministry of this church. But we pray for Easter Sunday. We pray for the next 7 days that you would move on the hearts of our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members. Father, you know our capacity. You know the preparation, and that you would bring people into this place that do not know you. That our sacrifice, whether it be giving up our seat, whether it be giving up our peace, giving up our patience, giving up our silence, would be so that somebody might come to know you. We pray right now. Come on, begin to say the names. Begin to say the names. We pray for our coworkers. We pray right now for our family members. We pray right now for our classmates. Come on, we pray for our neighborhood. We pray for our friends. We pray for those that do not know you, Jesus, that you would give us opportunity, that you would give us a chance, that you would use us boldness. We speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus in the street.
Hallelujah.
Come on, sing it out. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family.
Jesus.